It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guide.
Good morning and welcome. It's Turkey Day weekend, and you're listening to the Grilling Guys. We'll probably talk a little bit about how you cooked your turkey today, but
I hope not.
Yeah, it's too late because I already introduced it. But you are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in on this holiday weekend. I hope you wobbled up to the radio and turned it on today after having a huge Thursday meal and eating it probably Friday and again today and probably again tomorrow.
Stretch
if you're
pants.
Like at my house.
Stretch pants, baby. That's what.
But anyway, I'm Jop and he's Barbecue Bob. What was cooking, brother?
Weebles wobble.
Yeah, but we never fall down.
Welcome to the smokiest show on the airwaves. You're going to hear a lot of paper wrestling because we're going to do some serious jerky and sausage training today. It could be a little boring. I'll try to be my delightful self.
Yeah, well, we'll post the recipes. You know, you might want to write one of them down in the dust on your dash, but other than that, they'll be out there.
I pulled these all off our site.
Yep.
These are all off our site, and I wanted to print them off so I could bind them.
Oh.
So I could put them with my barbecue stuff to, because in the next day or two I'm going to be making a bunch of jerky and sausage.
Yeah,
because I shot a hog.
Yeah, right.
Big dough.
Oh my goodness, so big I couldn't even pull her out by myself.
Well, that's a smart thing. Whoa. At our age, Bob, you get some help or you do it with a car or whatever, a vehicle.
Yeah, I got it to the main trail and then I brought the Tahoe down and hooked a strap in. I gave her a dignified dragging.
Yeah, right. Yep, exactly. Well, hey, before we
my show plan is in disarray because as I got ready to leave this morning, my little granddaughter, who's living with us until their house is ready, decided to
shuffle it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just go like this, 52 sheet on the floor.
Yep. Yep. Well, you'll figure it out. While you're doing that, I want to give one last Thanksgiving shout out to Tim Sobey because I had that Otto's fresh turkey that I bought over there, and he had that special turkey dust, and it was
turkey dust.
Yeah, he gave me. You remember last week when he was on the show,
the hamburger smash guy,
right? Yeah, they did a brine and a seasoning, and I did both of those, and damn, I'm going to tell you, that was good turkey. Now, I spatchcocked it on the big green egg, took it to 170 degrees in the breast, and then let it set for about a half hour before we carved it, and the timing worked out miraculously. I was surprised. I mean, I always leave a buffer in there because people are like, when are we going to eat? And I'm going to say, when the turkey's done, that's when we're going to eat, right? And but we timed it out, and it went well. But, no, that was just a very succulent. I talked to one of my buddies.
Succulent.
Yes, it was. I mean, juicy and tender,
stop
and it was wonderful. But I talked to one of my buddies, you know Charlie, he in Lowell,
mm-hmm.
and he injected his with butter,
mm-hmm.
and in the breast and in the thighs. And
a then Charlie Butterball.
Right, and then he put it on his grill, spatchcocked, and cooked it low on indirect heat, and he said it took him an hour and 50 minutes. He had a 15-pound bird, but he said, man, that butter injection was just crazy
good. Proud of you, Charlie.
Yeah, man.
Attaboy.
So, yeah, so he...
We're going to have to come up with a new name for him. It could be like Butterballs or something like that.
You go with it if you want to, and that's all good with me. But anyway, so no, just one, you know, again, Sobey never steers you wrong. And I took
again.
A flyer on it because he said, oh, I got this new stuff, and if he says it's good, I'm going to give it a run, and dang, it was.
And we had a listener down in Wayland win the free turkey. Yes. I'd like to hear back from you, Mr. Kingsley, if you... if you cooked that bird or if you auctioned it off.
Oh, yeah. He was pleased to have won it. I mean, I spoke with him. And so I gave him a call. He was very grateful and was made his run over to Sobey. And I told him, you ask for Tim when you get there. And I'm sure that all went down.
Well, Mr. Kingsley, make sure you send us a tag on our Grilling Guys Facebook page.
Yeah.
And maybe a picture of how that turned out. That'd
yeah.
be great.
Right.
Your yep. whole family devouring it.
Right. Yeah.
Slapping your hands away from the meat.
Yeah. And if you can finish it with a lick in the fingers, that'd be great. Yeah.
This is your mission.
Yeah.
Well,
but anyway.
Well,
how was your Thanksgiving,
I'm so
Bob?
Sorry for the deluge email I sent you with the show plan, and I told you don't print it off because I have to print this off to begin my process. I'm going to get serious about some sausage. I went to Kent Butcher Supply. I was going to go to Sobey and get it, but why raid his stocks when I'll just get it where he gets it?
Yeah. So you mean the casings?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the casings. And that's how I met Tim. Rob Russell and I were putting on a sausage and wild game class out in Holland, and I needed some casings for the sausages. And I talked to some different guys, and one of them said, hey, Sobey would probably sell you some. So I went into the old store. Tim wasn't there, but Teresa was. And I told her who I was, and we were fast friends. I saw the pickle barrel. They used to have a pickle barrel where you could actually reach in and grab the pickles.
It was so with a pair of tongs.
No.
Not a dirty fishing hand.
Anything, because it's vinegar. You're not going to hurt it.
Oh, yeah, man. Right.
Little axle grease won't hurt.
Right. Yeah.
But anyway, so our Thanksgiving was fantastic.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Can't complain.
Now, in the years past, you've smoked one. Maureen's done one in the oven. How'd that all look this year?
Well, we went to my daughter Maggie's.
Oh,
so it worked out perfectly.
It looked beautiful then.
It worked out perfectly. Yeah. And when Jordan comes home, he's gifting us a giant gift of a turkey that they got, a 31-pounder or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll have one. I'm thinking about deep frying it.
Oh, really? Give
it
a run.
I really
want
to try it.
Does that deep fryer you got, is that a big enough vat?
No,
that?
I have a turkey fryer.
Oh,
like
the
yours.
Round one. Yeah, okay. Yep. So that'll be good. Yeah. No fires with no turkey deep fryer.
No. Right? And but I'm probably not going to use solid peanut oil.
Expensive.
I've got a couple jugs of vegetable oil left over from the kitchen, and I'll never use it.
Right.
So why not use it to deep fry?
Yeah, I talked to a guy that usually does deep fry it, but he didn't want to make the mess. You know, just cleaning up that oil after you're done, and where do you put it? And
well, if you have if you're tricky at all,
right,
and you keep a jug, or I have these 5-gallon food grade buckets.
Yeah,
and if you filter it and put it in the bucket, store it in the garage or in the shed somewhere cool.
Yeah,
it'll be fine.
Yeah, but you gotta strain the.
You do
the big filter.
You have to just use your wife's strainer.
Oh, okay. Yep. So you're just getting the solids.
Get most of the chunks out.
Yeah. Right. The rest
you'll have
flavor.
A little slurry by the time you're done. You know.
Yeah.
But when you pour it in your deep fryer, whatever you're going to use it, just pour it carefully and leave that in the bottom of the bucket and chuck it.
Yeah, bucket and chuck it.
Chuck it, bucket.
Yeah, sounds like a good idea. So leftovers, we're going to be talking. I wanted to talk to Conrad because his favorite leftover is the waffle iron stuffing.
Exactly.
Did that happen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The day after, you know, there's always the part of the stuffing that's not exactly crispy, and that's what we like.
Right.
So
yes, we all do.
Whether it comes out of the bird, which is usually pretty moist, or out of the oven,
right?
The next day, you can throw that on a waffle maker and crisp it up for breakfast or lunch or whatever.
You might want to oil it down real good.
Yeah,
because I tried that last year.
Yes,
it stuck.
Well, I put some oil on it, but I would say, if you have some heavy oil axle grease again.
Yeah, right.
Good.
Yeah, leftover from the year previous year's turkey.
Yeah, that's right.
But that is such a good tip, is to crisp that up. And if you got an air fryer, that'll work a little bit too.
Yeah.
But I like the waffle iron because then it's a serving that comes off of there and it's ready to go.
And you can throw them.
Right, put a little gravy on them. Yeah, right.
That's right.
Stuffing Frisbees. Yeah. Anyway, coming up next, we're going to get to it with jerkies and sausages. Barbecue Bob got himself a deer, and lo and behold, you got to do something with it.
Yeah.
And one of the most popular things is that, jerky or sausage. So hang on. We're going to take you through several recipes here, but
To stay awake.
We'll try to stay awake. All right. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Barbecue Bob for Garrett's Appliance. Lots of folks are remodeling, and if you are, you owe it to yourself to go to Garrett's Appliance. They made my kitchen the perfect example of elegant and functional. Visit either location, 29th Street in Kentwood or 28th Street in Wyoming. Garrett's Appliance also has a super lineup of patio kitchen equipment, and you can count on their design team for a perfect outdoor grilling area. Visit garrettsappliances.com. That's garrettsappliances.com.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the post-Turkey Day show. Hope you wobbled over to the radio, tuned us in, or on your podcast or wherever you're at. But hope you had a blessed and filling Thanksgiving. So we're moving forward. And Bob got himself a big doe up at deer camp. And
it was part Holstein, I think.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
That's a good one. He was picky.
I saw her. I followed her. I hunted three deer this year.
Yeah.
One was a one-ton GMC.
Yeah.
Because his rack looked like the front end of a GMC pickup truck, the new ones.
Wow.
It squared off. It went giant. And he was had a body of a bull. I mean, yeah. It was so big. I hope my son gets to shoot it.
Yeah.
I hunted him. I hunted a beautiful 8-point that I'm afraid the neighbor gut shot. And then this doe, which I named Big Girl, because every time I saw her, she took off.
Yeah,
she was smart. So I was sitting in one of my favorite spots, and they came out of a different area, and I was trying not to fall asleep.
Take a page out of my book.
Saturday morning. Well, you know, I was up there by myself, and it's like real quiet and beautiful, so serene. And you get a little tired of looking. You can't be an eagle eye forever, right? And I just looked up the hill once.
Now he's giving me my excuses for
yes.
the next time he brings this
yes.
up.
Yes. Yeah. So I looked up the hill, and it's like, oh, my gosh, there is a deer right up at the top of the hill. And she was looking off to my left. And I was like, oh, I hope she's looking at a buck. But now she's looking at me, so I can't turn my head and look. So I had to very slowly lower my head so that the bill of my hat covered my face. And if you move slow enough, they really don't pick up on it. And I waited a couple minutes, and then I looked up, and they were all coming down the hill. She was leading the way, and she just got into position and took my opportunity.
Yep.
And
so fresh venison.
Yes.
Here we go.
My goodness. So I process at the camp.
Right.
I have the device with the pulley and lifted it up into the buck pole, yep, and skinned it and started cutting off muscle masses.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just shocked how much there was. And I keep like a garbage bag ready in a cooler, and I put it all in there. And then, of course, the back straps and the tenderloin went into a separate little cooler.
Yep.
And I cut up here's a great opportunity for you. If you do as much of it as you can at camp, there's nothing to do at home really other than the heavy work of making your burger or sausage or whatever you're going to do.
Which eventually during this show we're going to tell you about.
So it's kind of a process though, and it's the first time this year I've been so complete at camp. And especially with the back straps, you know, if you like chops,
mm-hmm.
And I know Jops like chops.
I do.
There's your opportunity. Bring some cutting boards with you. And it was a perfect spot because all your trimmings go in the one. The waste gets chucked down by the lake so that the scavengers can get it.
Yeah.
And it was just so nice to carry, like, I don't know, there was probably 40, 50 pounds of meat I carried out.
Yeah.
and none of the mess had to go home, so I had to worry about, you know, that.
Right.
So let's talk about smoking a little bit.
Okay.
And these notes are all from classes Rob and I did over the years. Some of it came from the University of Kansas or Missouri, and some of it came from different schools and whatever that we gleaned. But I did all my training in Kansas City with him and some other guys. And so there was an abundance of curriculum and good data. So this comes from one of those sessions, and it says the smoking process both preserves and flavors the food. And that preserve is a big part because, you know, back in the day, they didn't have refrigerators, so they just used curing salt and they smoked it.
Right.
And like if you look at prosciutto even, they didn't even smoke it. They just coated it in salt and hung it in a cool place for months.
Right.
And that's how you get prosciutto. I learned from
and they cut that paper thin.
I learned that from Umberto Piccarelli when he was on the show that time. I went to and visited him in Detroit, and he's old school paisan who has a phenomenal restaurant called Piccarelli's, and so the curing process, whether you're smoking or whatever, it's good science, and I would tell you to really, I guess, pay attention to not only the old timers, but any data you can find online from universities or trusted sources. And most of the stuff's pretty good. I haven't run into too much junk out there. But generally, there's three different methods of smoking foods: hot smoking and cold smoking.
And liquid. Right?
And I hate to say it, but liquid.
Right.
And it's not as bad as you might think. Guys who use their ovens will very often use liquid smoke. And I would tell you to check around before you use it and talk to your friends who have tried it, because they do vary quite a bit in their effectiveness and their flavor.
Right.
And little bit goes a long way.
That's where I was going to go. My only recommendation with liquid smoke is that it's like perfume. A little bit of it is amazing. Too much of it is overwhelming. And that you don't want to use too much liquid smoke because you can't take it off. Once it's on there, it's on there. But
right.
If you got to try it, I guess. There's a brand that's called Liquid Smoke, but there's also a lot of other ones out there.
I think it's Wrights is the big brand.
Yeah, Wrights.
Liquid Smoke. And I'm not saying that's the best. I just know that I like their bacon until the Chinese bought them.
Yeah.
Then
And here's the thing is that, that if I'm doing my own smoking, that's my last resort is Liquid Smoke. Because we are fortunate to be set up with equipment that is made
right.
to smoke meats.
Right.
And if you, whether it's electric or whether it's natural fuels, and the latter is where I much prefer lump charcoal with seasoned wood.
Yep.
Those are, you can make some incredible flavor with that you just can't get anywhere else.
Well, I got some more wood for you, too.
Good.
Just cut another hickory.
Yeah, right. And
I can honestly say I've never used liquid smoke.
Right.
Just thinking back, I have never used it.
Yeah.
I've tasted food that people have used it on. And the one time I thought it was acceptable, it was Wrights.
Yeah.
And I don't know that that's the best. I simply know that one didn't turn my nose up too
I know
bad.
My mom had used it in the past. I've not used it either.
Yeah.
Just because I don't need to. I've got natural. So let's talk about there's smoking in general. It's basically a process that preserves the meat and the flavor.
Yeah.
Because you're cooking it.
Yep.
Right? So you either got hot smoking or cold smoking. And in the next segment, we'll talk about the differences between those two. But when you smoke meat, you need it depends on what cut you're making. If it's a big, thick cut,
Of meat, too.
Right, yes. If it's a big, thick cut, you absolutely need temperature probes in it. But if it's jerky, then you can kind of tell by looking at it, and you can tell by the feel of it.
And tasting it.
Yeah, and tasting it, right? And again, depending on what you're smoking, the type of meat, it isn't going to hurt you if it's a little underdone. But you just don't.
So
ever
if your wife comes outside and says what you're smoking, you don't have to look guilty.
Right, exactly. And most of that's legal now, so that's all good. But anyway, so coming up next in the next segment, we're going to talk about hot smoking versus cold smoking, and then Bob's probably going to give you a couple recipes of great things that you can do with meat that you have. And the beauty of this is these are not the most expensive cuts.
No.
So you listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You've got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grilling Guys. We're talking smoking this week. Turkey Day's behind us. Gobbled it all up. So Bob got a deer. We talked a little bit about that. Give us a quick breakdown, Bob, of cold smoking versus hot smoking.
Well, this time of year, now I'm not a fan of anything cold smoked.
Right.
Because I don't like too much smoke on anything. But people do love to smoke cheese. I have had some smoked howdah that was pretty good.
Yeah.
Some people call it gouda. But for the most part, I'm not a smoked cheese guy. I shouldn't say that because I do like the smoked blue cheese on tomatoes when you do them on the Big Green Egg or the Primo.
Oh, yeah.
Those are good. But for the most part, hot smoking, you know, you're gonna deal with temperatures of like 165 to 250. When you get above 300, your smoker is eating up all the fuel, so you're doing lighter smoke. So depending on how much smoke you want on something, you got to watch the temperature. If you're trying to cook the meat and cure it, run your temperature up a little bit if you don't want it real smoky. Cold smoking, again, it's good for fish and cheese, and I'll just leave it at that. Liquid smoke, I don't know.
And so cold and smoking, one thing I want to add, 40 to 140 degrees, it's offset smoking. Hot smoking, you're on the smoker. Your product is in the smoker.
Yeah.
And it's...
And you can make your own cold smoker.
Exactly.
We've seen guys do it with a dryer hose and all kinds of things.
Right.
You're running smoke into
something. You're burning a hot one way, and you're just diverting the smoke across your product.
But the cool weather like this is perfect if you want to try cold smoke.
Right.
Bacon is another great thing to do. It's pork belly. I love making my own bacon, and I'm due to do that pretty soon. But we won't cover all those things. I wanted to jump into sausage because it's one of those tricks. I called my buddy up north. He made some breakfast sausage for me when I stayed with him last summer, and it was fantastic. I'd never had venison breakfast sausage in my life at 60 some years old. That's amazing. I didn't know you could do it even legally. I thought Bob Evans had law against that or something.
Yeah, right.
Is that patties or links?
Yeah, it was bulk. It was
okay.
Bulk sausage. But I'm telling you, it was so amazingly good that my wife did not care for it, but that's because she has got an aversion to venison since we got out of college. She's uppity. She doesn't need to eat the poor folks' food anymore. But, you know, people do.
I would contend that's not poor folks' food.
I know, no,
by the
no.
time you invest
no,
in all the
not.
Crap you have to buy to get a deer.
Oh, no.
Yeah, right.
I'm just saying that.
It's rich money.
I'm just saying that the necessity to eat is a big motivator versus, you know, just eating because you really want to try something.
Yeah.
But sausage can be made from like any meat source, and typically ground, and sausage can be uncured and unsmoked. But the purpose of this is to consider curing and smoking. And then for cures, you can use salts. And here's the two that confuse me, nitrates and nitrites. And I always confuse the two. And then spices. Now, a natural cure is sea salt and celery salt. You combine those two and you have something that's safer than nitrites or nitrates.
Right.
And I prefer to do that. And they very often will call it curing salt. It's the pink stuff.
Right.
That's the nitrates. And that's the stuff that, you know, probably isn't real good for you, but we've been eating it all our lives.
And again, that's the purpose is to attack the bacteria. Right.
Yes.
Yeah. And
to retard the growth of it.
Right. Exactly. So it's a natural part. Don't overdo it. because then you're
follow the directions.
Follow directions, yeah. and especially with the nitrites and the nitrates, if you have a recipe, do not deviate. I mean, you can multiply it, right? But don't deviate from that ratio of those, because it's not that good for you. It's got a job to do, but you only want it to do the job.
I've seen people in the competition world use it on their pork shoulders, and the judges know.
Oh, yeah.
It does enhance the flavor, right. But it also makes your meat look like ham.
Right.
Because it is.
Right, yeah.
So I would tell you to, you know, check out somebody who sells packets like Sobe Meats, who have all these pre-mixed spices. People always say, geez, you should have your own brand of sauces and spices. And it's like, there are so many of them out there. I suppose if I were younger and wanted to go after it, yeah, I would probably do that. But it takes an awful lot of work. And I've repped for some spice companies and some sauce companies. And I'll tell you what, as soon as you get them on the shelf, they fire you as a rep, because it's a dog eat dog business.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's fun, but nobody ever has fun getting fired. Then if you look at sausages, there's different types you can make. Now, I'm going to be doing venison, and I'm probably not going to be adding any other meat to it, because I want to have a good lean sausage. And then you can do the summer sausages, which are in the paper type casings, or you can do the meat sticks, which are really sheep intestines.
Right, but it's edible once it's cooked.
Yeah, you can eat the casing.
So I want to go back to what you just said, because venison is very, very lean. And if you just grind your venison, I'm thinking that it's going to crumble in there because there's no binder. So are you using some sort of a fat in there?
I have a big bag of beef talon.
Tallow. Yeah, talons are on birds.
Yeah, I have some beef claws.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And my son makes a reduction with it.
Yeah.
He's in a health freak. Very healthy.
Well, it's very flavorful, though.
Yeah,
too. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm going to be using that beef fat. And what I'll do is I'll run it through my grinder once first, and then I'll run the venison through the grinder once, and then I'll mix it together, put my seasonings in, and run it through a second time. So that'll be called a double grind.
Okay.
And it'll be mixed together very well. And I'll be playing with the percentages, but I'm probably going to want to go about 20% fat.
Right.
And that'll be based on just a gut, you know, my eye.
So the grinder, that's another thing that some people like a coarse grind. Some people
that's
like
a single.
And some people like a fine grind. But even the little disc that goes on the end of the grinder, that'll change the size and shape of your grind.
Right.
And I prefer a little more coarse grind myself.
Well, and I'm going to, for these stuffed, for the like the meat sticks, I'm going to use coarse twice.
Okay.
If you go to Wisconsin, they're famous for what? Cheese and brats. And beer, actually.
Right.
And cheating in elections. But you can't say that. So
back to the brats, Bob.
But in Wisconsin, their brats are all double grind.
Fine.
When you first look at them, you're like, oh, it looks like liverwurst.
Yeah.
Sure, that's a brat. Well, they taste fantastic. They just look a little weird until you cook them.
Right.
And then once you cook them, there's so many great German butchers over there.
Yeah,
we tend to prefer our Polish butchers over here, but
yeah.
we won't have World War III over sausage.
No.
So I think I'm going to use the coarse twice, and for the most part, I'm not a big summer sausage guy. I'm going to try a couple. But I have a relative that makes them all the time, and his are not good.
Okay, so summer sausage, tell me what that is, because sausage is sausage? No, there's a difference.
Right, and summer sausage is generally the bigger, like 3-inch sticks, and it's the synthetic, the paper kind of casings.
Yep, you peel it off before you eat it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a different recipe. Very often it'll be like a peppercorn and more of a simple garlic and peppercorn type thing. Whereas when you go with a meat stick or breakfast sausage, then you're going to take your aromatics and you're going to put a different profile on it.
Yeah, you know, summer sausage, there is a market called Dublin Market up north.
Very famous for their jerky.
Famous, yeah, the place burned down and they rebuilt it, thank goodness. But they've got a store in Grand Rapids here, too. But my favorite
thing— Over by your house, isn't it?
Yeah, my favorite thing is their summer sausage, and they mix Swiss cheese and morel mushrooms in it, in a summer sausage. So there's a lot you can put in sausage to give it flavor, but that one is amazing.
Well, and here's the deal. You can't just use any cheese.
Right, exactly. All right, coming up next, we're going to finish this conversation on sausage jerky. We haven't even touched jerky yet, so you're listening to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Andy Havemeyer, operating owner of Wealthy Street Bakery, where we're more than just pastries. Open from 6:30 to 9, Monday through Saturday, and 8 to 3 on Sundays. You can enjoy a fresh pastry in the morning, a hearty sandwich for lunch, or a delicious brick oven pizza for dinner. Whether you're into coffee and tea, beer or wine, our drink menu is sure to have something for everyone. We hope to see you soon. Don't forget to check out our sister location, Hall Street Bakery, on the corner of Hall and Fuller. Check out our menus online at wealthystreetbakery.com and also at hallstreetbakery.com.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guy rig, hit the brakes. It's going to be big. Stick around and put...
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. If this is your first time tuning in and you've been listening, this is pretty typical how the Grilling Guys work. We had a show plan of about 70 pages, and we haven't hit one yet. We were talking during the break. We're like, God, we haven't even talked on jerky yet. And I'm like, well, you really haven't even given them a sausage recipe yet either.
And I won't.
They're all on the website.
Right, yeah. They are.
Yeah.
GrillingGuys.com.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I would never want to ask anybody to write down all this stuff as we babble on because
right.
I'm probably going to lose my place. There's a jerky that years ago I went nuts in the kitchen and came up with like, I don't know, seven different variations, just probably trying to be crazy. And the amazing thing was it didn't matter what combinations I used. If the bases were there, and the bases I'm going to tell you are kind of simple. It's Worcestershire and maybe oil. What else is in common in these? Brown sugar, soy sauce, and tenderizer. Those are kind of the red wine vinegar. Those are kind of the fundamentals of what makes a good marinade in almost anything, right?
Right.
Some wine, some soy, and some Worcestershire. Those are in, like, I think your favorite Bloody Mary, maybe. But,
yeah.
But it's real easy. So one that I named Oh Yeah because that's what I said when I took my first sample. It was, and before I even get on with this, you can find them on thegrillingguys.com. You can also find all of our sponsors on the right-hand side. Click on those links, and it'll take you right to their current sales.
Yeah, Black Friday stuff is running rampant with them. Get on there.
Yeah.
And once again, the best gift for the griller in your world is a ThermoPen. Everybody has to have one.
And if you hit the MyPillow site, remember your code is BBQ.
Right, and you'll get all the current sales.
So here's, I stopped and bought some jerky from somebody I won't name. I didn't get a chance to go to Sobeys before I ran up the last time, and I bought somewhere else. And this guy cuts his jerky too thick.
Oh, yeah.
And when I gave a piece to my brother-in-law, the first thing he did was took a bite, and he goes, that's too thick. And I didn't say a word. I said, absolutely. It changes it. Jerky's not supposed to be a meal.
Right.
It's supposed to be something you tear off and chew for a good long time.
Right.
Because you have
it's full
time.
Of flavor.
Yeah.
And it's full of flavor. Right.
So the first key is cut your meat consistently. And I'm going to say maybe no more than between an eighth and a quarter inch thick.
Okay.
And if it's venison, a quarter inch is good because it's so lean and if you cut it consistently, you'll know when it's done. You also know when it's overdone.
Right.
And you don't want to overdo it because that meat is too dear to you.
So all puns intended. One thing that I would tell you when you're cutting the meat, you want to go across the grain, not with the grain. And you'll see grain in the meat.
Well,
I like it across because it breaks off better. If you go with the grain, you're pulling that grain.
That's right. It depends on how you like your jerky. You said I like.
Right.
And that's a great point. A lot of times meat guys will use flank steak, and they'll go long with the grain, so you get these long strands, and you get to tear it as you eat it. Some people prefer to do that.
Sure.
I have too much dental work to make that work very well for me.
Yep.
I always get stuck in my teeth.
And you don't want more.
No.
Right, yeah, exactly.
But so that's a great point, Jop. So cut it consistently. So here's, this is an easy one. And again, I was just getting silly, but it's cracked pepper, cayenne pepper, onion, two cloves of crushed garlic, some A1 steak sauce, my boy's favorite, Worcestershire, paprika, celery powder, tenderizer, and sea salt. And that's just a really good one. Now, this was Rob Russell's favorite. It was really simple. It was a quarter teaspoon of hot sauce, minced garlic, sea salt, celery powder. Nope, that's not it. I grabbed the wrong one. Regardless, here's another one. This is cool. It's called Great Jerky. Again,
you guys studied hard to get these names, didn't you?
Yeah. This was post Rob Russell. It was rest in peace. He was no longer with me when I wrote these out. Sea salt, cracked pepper, brown sugar, soy, Worcestershire, garlic, celery powder, tenderizer, and sea salt again.
Yeah, that's going to have a nice. That's going to have that little sweet, salty flavor. That one is a great jerky because I'm a sweet and savory guy.
Play with this. Here's the cool thing: if you have enough meat, hopefully you do, you can just make small batches, and try them. Get your smoker going and don't let it stop. Just keep it going.
Yeah, I'm looking at this great jerky recipe that is again on thegrillingguys.com. And it says 1 pound of lean meat is where you start, thinly sliced.
Yep.
So you're not making giant batches here.
And one thing I used to do when I'd visit Rob in Topeka was we'd go see his favorite butcher.
Right.
And he made jerky out of chuck roast.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very basic blend. It was like almost just salt and pepper.
Okay.
And we'd get it right out of the smoker. Of course, we were in the back with him.
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
If you have a chuck roast in your freezer and it's getting a little freezer burnt, pull it out, cut the freezer burn off of it, and you can go along the grain, across the grain, however you want. I would tell you to cut the fat off it because you don't need the mess.
Right.
But try making some chuck roast jerky if you don't have deer to work with. This is Western barbecue jerky. It's more brown sugar, pepper, red wine vinegar, cayenne, ketchup, onion powder, garlic powder, dry mustard, celery powder, tenderizer, and sea salt.
Yeah, so I'm seeing that consistency right there on the last three. All of these, the last three items are celery powder, tenderizer, and sea salt. Now, McCormick's makes a meat tenderizer that my mom used to use when we were growing up. You know, you didn't have the best cuts of meat, so she'd cover it with that meat tenderizer. And it just breaks down the fibers a little bit. And because when you're drying this meat, you're making it a little tougher.
Yeah.
Right? When the reason people don't like well-done meat is because it dries out and it gets tough.
Well,
that's really what you're doing with jerky.
And that's what I'm telling you. If you're using venison, I was going to say jenison.
Yeah. They have venison.
You got to be really careful about the amount of time you leave it on your smoker.
Right.
Because if you overdo it, it's crispy. It's dry. It's disappointing.
How do you know? When it starts looking good, you just take a bite.
Yeah.
And then if it's too not done yet, you let it go and take another
bite. And as it cools off, it's also evaporating. It's dehydrating.
Yep.
So there's a certain point, and you'll get better at it, where you just have to know when that time is that this is about where I want to pull it off. So it'll still dehydrate a bit, but be moist enough to be good. And then I would tell you, if you don't have a seal of meal, get one. This one's called Grillin' Guys Terry Jerky. And it's a half bottle of teriyaki sauce. I did it the easy way instead of making it.
Yep.
Ground mustard, sea salt, honey, cayenne, and 2 tablespoons of jalapeno juice with some paprika. And I use the, if you make your own jalapenos or if you buy the pickled jalapenos, whatever, that vinegar is like gold.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's got some kick to it. So I use that. Now, this one was something I just got stupid on because I had a bottle. What?
Let me ask you one thing. We've gone through five or six recipes here. What we haven't addressed yet is how long do you put it in this marinade before you pull it out and cook it?
That depends on how much flavor you want to impart. And you can reuse the brine for the next batch if
right.
you keep doing it.
Right.
But I'm going to say in the fridge for 4 hours. If it's on the counter, 2 hours.
Yeah. Yep.
This one, I had a bottle of, from when I was back in the turkey frying days, Creole butter. Remember
oh, yeah.
that stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
I can't remember the company that
Chattery,
I used to buy.
Tony Chattery
could
or
have been.
Something
yeah.
it was. Yeah, yeah.
But that Creole butter is basically a garlic butter.
Uh-huh.
So you could make your own, too, like Charlie did. But it's also got some cayenne in it. So that I put Creole butter, a 16-ounce bottle of it, red pepper flakes, cayenne, tenderizer, celery powder, and sea salt. I made a mistake before. I said celery salt. Celery powder and sea salt are the natural natural cures.
Right.
This one I call frontier jerky. It's salt, pepper, Worcestershire, garlic, celery, and tenderizer and sea salt. This one was twisted. I loved it. I called it twisted because I was really going berserk at this point. Soy sauce, olive oil, lemon, Worcestershire, dried basil from the garden, dried parsley, and white pepper.
Yeah, good stuff. All these are on thegrillingguys.com.
And they're
check
all
it
good.
Out.
They're
yeah,
all
they're
good.
All good. And if you're smoking this stuff, hardwood is where you want to go. Bob has hickory all over his property, and every time he drops one of those, I make sure I load up a couple totes because it's wonderful to smoke with. But you've been listening to the Grilling Guys and the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Get out in your backyard. Fire up a smoker. I know it's a little chilly and windy today, but, hey, you never want to stop cooking outside. You're listening to the Grilling Guys. We'll talk to you next week.
Have fun with your sausage.